Welcome, everyone, to Insights and Revelations Inside the World of Master Coaching. I'm Gail Moore, your host, and there are a lot of new folks joining us today, so a very special welcome to all of you, and thank you for being here. You know, it's hard to believe this is our last Moore Master Coaching call for 2015, and what a fabulous way to end the year. It's going to be a great call with our guest Master Coach, Fran Fisher, who's not only allowing us to be a fly on the wall for a real-world coaching session with one of her clients and then ask her questions, she's also giving us an additional 30 minutes for a skill drill on inquiry. Everyone received the handout preparation, so hopefully you've had a chance to look it over, and you are ready to participate in this learning adventure with one of the greats in our industry. Fran is recognized as a true pioneer of the coaching profession. She works primarily with entrepreneurs, executives, and collaborative work teams, as well as skills training and mentoring for aspiring coaches. Fran founded the Living Your Vision process and the Academy for Coach Training, which was one of the first schools accredited by the ICF. In 2005, Fran sold the LYV and ACT businesses to Invite Change. She was a founding executive board member of ICF, serving as chair of the Credentialing Development Committee, and she was the first executive director of ACTO, the Association for Coach Training Organizations. Fran's passion is empowering individuals, teams, and organizations for realizing their highest visions. And as a master coach, her expertise is helping visionary leaders fulfill their highest aspirations. And in November 2012, Fran was awarded the 2012 Lifetime Achievement Award, ICF Chapter, Washington State. So it is my great privilege and pleasure to welcome you to the call, Fran. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to it.
What a gracious introduction. Thank you.
Well, before I turn the call over to you, I just want to take a moment and first of all welcome Gary, who is the client today, and let you all know what Fran has shared with me about Gary and their relationship. A few years ago, Fran facilitated Gary one-on-one through her intensive program called Living Your Vision. This process helped Gary clarify his life vision and purpose and design a master plan that would help him live more true to his essential self. It also helped him prepare to fulfill his dream of taking a year-long sabbatical, which he did in 2013. And after that, Gary hired Fran to mentor him for launching his new career as a coach. So, as an integrative wellness coach, Gary shares decades of his experience as a family physician, psychiatrist, teacher, facilitator, and spiritual mentor. And Gary took a break from their monthly coaching and mentoring calls earlier this year, so this is their first coaching session since last spring. I also want to remind everyone that for privacy and confidentiality purposes, any client on a Moore Master Coaching call has the option of going by either their first name or an alias, also whether or not to reveal any personally identifiable information. And finally, as a heads up that the coaching session is coming to an end, I may be ringing a bell at both the 5-minute and the 15-second mark, and this is what that will sound like. All right, that does it on my end. So if you're ready, Fran?
Ready.
Yay! I'll turn it over to you
again.
Okay. Gary. Thanks.
All right. Thank
you. Yeah,
I'm
ready.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for volunteering to be my client today.
You're welcome.
You are a gift of service to the coaches on the line. And I know that service is one of your top values, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so thank you. I want to check in before we get going here on your comfort level for being fully present. Just how safe and vulnerable you're feeling for your own learning in this environment.
I feel pretty safe. I don't have a sense of anything that I wouldn't share or it feels like time in my life. There's no need to hide or withhold anything. So it's just showing up and allowing you to direct me in the lines that this coaching call will go today, and hope to come out with a clearer, stronger sense of the way I want to go forward.
Oh, okay. And thank you. So you're feeling ready to roll, ready to dive
ready,
in?
Yes, ready to step in.
All right, thanks. Okay.
And I could start with my vision and purpose.
Oh, beautiful. You love to start there. So.
Oh, it's a good spot for me.
Yes.
So my vision is that I'm a playful work of art, a sacred portal of the divine, a powerful, wise, and loving being.
Yeah.
And my purpose is to live creatively with ease and power, to seek and trust the mystery, to embody wholeness and balance, and to embrace pleasure, adventure, and spontaneity.
Woohoo! Thank you.
That is a mouthful.
It's who you are. It's who you are. What did you notice as you spoke those words again so powerfully?
Well, I haven't spoken them very frequently since we took a break in our coaching, and so saying them was kind of like trying them on for size and just kind of gradually recognizing in the midst of the sentence that it felt very familiar and very strengthening. So I kind of noticed just a solidifying as I kind of read those.
Beautiful. So a nice grounded place as a context for our conversation today then, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. All right. So I heard you mention a moment ago that you want to get clearer and stronger. I remember hearing those words, clearer and stronger, mm-hmm. about what? What have you brought today?
Well, it's the question of where and how do I allocate the energy within the limits of the energy and that I have. Oh. And I'm similar in a sense that I realized to the life wheel that there are a number of specific areas, things that I'm working on and doing that are rewarding and I'm enjoying and feeling at peace with, but it's kind of like in the moment that it's fine, but I'm going to need to make some decisions about what to focus more time and energy on and what to let go of. So that's kind of the overall issue, but the specific issues in terms of that wheel, one of which is to redirect more energy to personal coaching. I just have 2 clients now, and I would love to have 3 to 5 clients. That would be sufficient for me.
Okay.
And so if I spent dedicated energy each week on that, I think over the next few months I probably could reach that spot. I also am a certified teacher of the Enneagram, and so I do a little bit of teaching. I could spend a lot more energy and time developing that and marketing it and going to more workshops, both to teach and also to attend.
Mm-hmm.
As a physician, I'm not practicing medicine and or psychiatry, and I miss that role in terms of being able to contribute to the healthcare situation that we're in. I feel like I've got some wisdom and something to offer, but I'm more than glad that I'm not involved in a kind of a productivity-driven medical practice right now. I want to live a more contemplative life, but I still feel like there may be some things that I can really offer to the community using the medical kind of background and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Another area is I do a fair amount of teaching at the University of Washington Medical Center for medical students and residents, and I've been just invited by email the last couple of days to increase that, and yet I'm feeling like I want to decrease it a little bit so that I have some energy for some of these other things,
mm-hmm.
and there's lots of opportunities, and that's a lot of fun doing the teaching, but it also takes a lot of energy because it involves commuting to the U. About an hour or more.
Gary?
Yeah.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yeah. And I can hear, you know, the the wheel here, you have, I need to interrupt that, but I'm wondering if we could just step back.
Sure.
To a global question right now.
Okay.
I heard you say you want to accomplish today how to allocate your energy. Is that right?
Yes.
And I'm getting the sense that you have so many opportunities, and some of them you have some good clarity about, and others you're unsure about how to redirect, what to focus on more of, and what to let go of. So if we just pause for a moment and invite you to feel into that global level, you know, just sort of wrap your arms around this big question that you have. What would you love to? Well, before I go there, what's the energy associated with this global question that you have, that you're sitting with right now?
Well, there's kind of a dual energy. One is really enjoying certain activities and kind of having a little feeling in my heart that is pulling me towards doing something in that dimension. And then there's a little bit of fear in a couple of other dimensions that they may take too much energy. They may swallow or demand more than I want to give. And so I'm kind of wary of one or two of these areas.
Okay.
So it's both.
There's
that,
a duality going on. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's the enjoyment and the pull, and then there's the fear that it might be too much.
Right. So, that I can't do it all, and something's going to have to give.
Something's going to have to give. What is your... are you willing to go here with me right now?
Sure, yes.
Okay. What's your greatest concern?
I've had a chronic pain disorder that is mostly in remission right now, after about 10 years. And a big part of the remission is that I'm not sitting at a computer or sitting anywhere upright for prolonged periods for more than 3 or 4 hours in a day, and that I'm able to take 2 or 3 hours a day to do physical exercise that keeps me essentially pain-free and feeling vigorous.
Bravo.
If I do too many things, that working out and that increased amount of sitting, I'm going to be back living in pain again. And so that's
okay.
A big motivator.
Okay. So a big motivation for making the choices on how to allocate your energy is your commitment to sustaining this remission of pain.
Yes. Yeah. It's part of being well and whole, as far as I'm concerned.
Well and whole. Okay, so in terms of well and whole, what would you love to accomplish today in our conversation? How to allocate the energy so that you can sustain this wellness and wholeness?
Okay, let me just sit with that for a moment. I guess I'd like to narrow down my clarity and decision amongst just three of the areas that I was so exhaustively listing. And those areas would be to seek to put more energy or to get a small part-time position as a physician psychiatrist, or to put more energy into teaching, or to commit more energy to my work in my church as a board member and prayer chaplain.
Okay.
So those three feel like they're up for grabs, that they could, mm-hmm. I could either increase or decrease all of them.
Okay. So those are your top three, and you could either increase or decrease.
Yeah. The other ones that I mentioned, I think I feel already fairly clear about
mm-hmm.
What I want to
okay.
do, but those three are not clear.
Okay. So, all right. So, by the end of this conversation, what would you love to take away for the investment of your time and energy right now.
Well, I think perhaps trying to narrow it down further, clarity about how much to focus my work with the church would be one of the fundamental things that I'd like to have. So that would probably be number one. And then if possible, to kind of hold in the balance this question that has been kind of looming about, do I go seek employed position in some role, or do I just let that be?
Okay. So today you want to accomplish a narrowing down of your clarity on allocation for these top three.
Right.
Okay. Does that work for you as
yes.
a goal for the conversation that we can line on and work
yes,
for?
That sounds good.
Okay. Well, by way of measure, narrowing down, you know, where on the spectrum was that? So where are you starting from? If you could scale how narrow your clarity is right now, what would that say? Scale of 1 to 10, just how narrow is your clarity on those top three?
I'm not sure what you mean by how narrow is my clarity.
Well, you want to narrow down your clarity on
yes.
how to allocate your energy for your
mm-hmm.
top three, the coaching,
right.
the physician,
yep.
the church. Okay. So, well, let's just, how clear are you now?
In those two areas, I'm not. Okay, I think I understand what you're saying. I would say with respect to the church, my clarity is about a five. And with respect to pursuing more employed medical activity, my clarity is probably about two or a three.
Okay. And what about your coaching?
Coaching, I feel pretty clear about. I'd say that's probably
okay.
in the at least 6-7 level.
Okay. So, how about we check in at the end of the conversation and see just how you've moved the needle?
Okay.
All right. So, I remember, Gary, that you were at this choice point last year in
yeah.
choosing how to allocate, right?
Yeah.
How to allocate your energy. And you had this commitment to sustaining your well-being that was your highest motivation
yes.
for making the best choices for you. So
mm-hmm.
what worked last year for you on how you approached this decision-making process?
You know, in contrast to much of the previous parts of my life, what worked was being open to several different possibilities and noticing what opportunities showed up, which ones kind of invited me, rather than pursuing something. It's like what reached out and grabbed me. And several
mm-hmm.
specific areas did show up, and it was like, yes, that's kind of what I wanted, and here it is being offered. So it's being receptive to myself and to what shows up in my life seems to be what works best.
Okay. How would that serve? How well would that process serve you now?
I think it would serve me a lot. Though I recognize that in one or two areas, it might not, being receptive might not work. I might need to actively pursue or develop a plan. For example, in the medical role, my sense is that I'd have to kind of change things and do things specifically along a step-by-step plan to enter back into a medical practice situation.
Okay.
I don't expect that would be something the universe would reach out and offer me. though I could be wrong.
You don't expect?
Yeah, I don't expect that. And perhaps it would be good if I allowed myself to continue to expect and remain receptive rather than in that pursuing role.
How does that feel when you say that?
It feels like a relief to not have this whole issue. You know, I'm 65 years old, and with limits that I have, this whole issue of pursuing, developing a plan and figuring out an outcome and working towards it does not feel rewarding anymore. And so there's this sense of maybe I have to pursue, but that's not rewarding. This rewarding of being really present and receptive does feel rewarding. But that also requires a certain amount of trust.
Okay.
a lot of trust in the process, yeah.
Say more about the trust.
Well, trust in this flow of events and where I am in the world or in the universe right now, that what I really need and want and will enjoy and, be the sort of the divine calling will be something that comes to me rather than me trying to go search and go find it. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to trust that will come to me in any of these dimensions. And it's interesting, I noticed that in some of these dimensions I already feel that trust. But
uh-huh.
in some of the dimensions uh-huh. I feel less trust.
Okay, and this medical dimension, you're feeling less trust.
Yes, that's the one I feel the least trust in.
Okay, what's the opportunity there, in terms of trust?
Well, I think the opportunity would be to kind of fine-tune and sculpt or, outline what I might want to receive. If I'm going to be receptive, what is it that I'm really wanting to be open to the universe about? Just doing something in the physician psychiatry role is such a big area that
uh-huh.
I guess I need to refine better what would feel like a good fit in that dimension.
And what are you learning about what you're just coming to as an insight?
Well, I don't have a sense that in the time that we have right now that I would be able to structure and refine what I want how I want to be receptive to a specific area. I think I need to do a little homework on which area in physician psychiatry, because I've got lots of ideas, but I need to sit with those and kind of feel into them, at a time offline, I think.
Okay. And I'm hearing you use the word need. I need to.
Mm-hmm.
How is that serving your process of what sounds like choosing to expand your trust in this area, the trust in the flow in the medical area and attracting and being receptive?
excuse me. I notice in the moment that as I you say that there is a lot of kind of fuzzy lack of clarity and almost a little part of me that's resisting defining what I really want in that area.
Ah. So there's a little pushing against the resistance.
A little avoidance.
Okay. Okay.
Do I really want anything in that dimension? I feel it kind of tugging at my heart, but then my gut kind of clenches a little bit and wants to avoid.
How do you want to be with that new awareness?
I think two things. It's exploring each of those sides. Exploring the avoidance would be trying to understand what specifically about this medical psychiatry role that I'm wanting to avoid. What is it I don't want to do? That could be very helpful. And in terms of the heart's tug about what I do want to do, being really much more clear about what are the specific roles, using my imagination and just kind of opening up the venue. So I think those are the two pieces that I need to work on.
Need to?
You catch me with those need. I guess that's better. It's better than should, I suppose. I appreciate that. It's the want to question. Let's see. Yeah, that's a good observation. This need to kind of puts a pressure on me where the want to would be a willingness. And I'm just noticing my own sort of subtle lack of willingness to envision or structure or, you know, focus on that physician psychiatry role. I'm noticing more and more a resistance to going there.
Some powerful noticing going on right now, Gary, and I'm appreciating your vulnerability here with this. This is your past. This has been your identity for, you know, two careers, and you want to give back to it. I can feel your heart's pull here.
Yeah.
And then this paradox, if you will, of noticing the lack of willingness. So in terms of gaining clarity around allocation of energy to the medical, how would you like to take this forward from here? From
could you speak just a little bit louder, Fran?
Oh, I'm softening my voice, aren't I? Yeah, you bet. So, how would you like to take this forward from here? How do you want to be with this noticing?
Well, I think I need to explore the fears or unwillingness to be able to really sort out what my desire is there.
Okay.
So I think focusing on, all right, what am I afraid of there could be helpful.
Okay. All right. What tools do you have? Or tool or approach, or how would you want to structure that after this conversation?
I think, you know, outside, offline, it would be journaling
okay.
be one thing that I can and I think I will do
okay.
to explore this. Another one is using some active imagination where I could just allow my imagination to put myself in several different roles. And kind of see, you know, if there's a little voice dialogue around that active imagination. You know, maybe talk to and listen to that unwilling part.
Gary, how motivated are you to actually follow through with the journaling and the active imagination?
Probably about a 5 or a 6.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think I started out feeling like a 2 or a 3 about this issue. It was really fuzzy. And now it's much clearer what I need to do. And I can notice some partial commitment to it. Some, like, yes, I could commit myself to this. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be a good idea. And yet also still noticing this area of avoidance resistance that, in a sense, almost doesn't want to get clear about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So how do you want to be with this partial commitment? How do you want to hold it?
Well, I guess I'd like to commit to you and to myself in this time we're coaching together, that I at least will do the journaling and just say, all right, I will do that. If we were to check back a week from now, I could commit to having spent at least a half an hour to an hour exploring this. And as I say that, I think I could bring that scale up to around a 7 or an 8.
Ah, awesome. And Gail, I heard the chime. Thank you. Okay, so I'm still hearing some ambivalent language here. I think I can, and you know,
it's really there. Good noticing.
It's really there. It's really there. Bottom line, what do you want to do? You've narrowed it down to the journaling. What do you want to commit to and hold yourself accountable for?
Well, I want to commit to the journaling.
Okay.
I want to commit to trying to imagine situations as a physician psychiatrist that would give me joy and would be a good fit. I think as I think about physician psychiatry roles now, it's on the basis of my life previously, which was very, demanding and exhausting and, burnout oriented. And so I've got to vision something other than what my experience tells me, because I wouldn't want to go back to the experience at this time in my life that I was doing when I stopped.
You are so clear about that.
Yeah.
So clear. And the knowing that you have something of great value to contribute to your colleagues and to your profession.
Right. And one piece of the question is to get paid for it. I am contributing quite a bit through the teaching that I do at the medical center. I feel good about that offering and that service. But to actually enter into practice and get paid for it, even if it was a couple of half days a week, which is about as much as I would want to do, that's part of that dilemma. Is it this time in my life when it really is just about service and not about money? Can I put aside the money-earning question or just do whatever works out, you know, in terms of a small amount of coaching? So that's another piece of that physician psychiatry role.
That question, yeah, you're carrying into the to this process of gaining greater clarity on how to allocate your energy there. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Imagine that you're on the other side of the journaling. What are you going to be feeling, regardless of which way you choose on allocation, but what are you going to be feeling on the other side of following through with the journal?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What comes up just in my mind is enthusiastic and excited.
Ooh, I just heard a shift in your energy.
Yeah. It's interesting. I get past this ambivalence. I feel like there's something there that really, you know, could give me joy and could be really valuable.
I just got goosebumps when you said that. Ooh, right.
Caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
Clarity of that question.
Okay, that's delightful. So in terms of what we want to accomplish today, Shall we visit the church opportunity for a moment?
Yes, if time allows, that would be great.
Okay. All right. What have you just learned or noticing that you might bring to the church question? if anything.
Yeah. Well, certainly journaling about, I haven't been doing as much journaling in recent months, so journaling about that question would also be helpful. And journaling about, again, what are my fears in terms of over-involvement or too much demand or kind of being used up?
Okay.
If I could get clear on that, I think that also might allow me to, you know, feel freer and safer.
Freer and safer. Freer and safer in terms of what exactly?
In terms of on any given day, being able to be free to choose what's the most life-giving thing, rather than to be kind of following through on feeling of obligation or somebody needs to do this job or I can help out here because I'm retired now. But a place where I feel freedom to say no, or this isn't a good time, which is a little scary because it could disappoint people.
Yeah. So freer and safer to live this commitment to your well-being and wholeness moment to moment, not
right.
just in these environments, these
right.
Aspects of your wheel.
Yeah, right.
But, wow, awesome. Okay, thank you, Gail. All right. So where are you now, Gary, in terms of what we wanted to accomplish today? How to allocate energy and on these top three?
Well, I guess with regard to the physician practice possibility, I feel some real anticipation of getting clearer and some sort of hope of joy that can come out of that rather than that sort of little bit of cloudy avoidance. So I feel the possibility that I could clarify that enough that I, you know, would be in a strong position to define and open. In terms of the church situation, that feels like it's still a lot in flux because I've only recently become a member of the board and I'm still discovering my duties. I kind of embraced it with passion as a spiritual community and some lovely people and use of my gifts. But I don't have a sense of what my limits of involvement are or what I need to be careful about. I kind of have thrown myself into that and just kind of letting it unfold. So being more clear about how much I want to offer that and allowing myself the freedom to say yes or say no.
You know what you need now to be more clear.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And that yes, say yes or say no, to make that be a habit on a daily basis that I'm approaching the energy of a given day. I mean, oftentimes we have to schedule things in advance and commit to them, mm-hmm. and that certainly is still needed. But with respect to the board, if there's a way that I can avoid being obligated to do things that are maybe details-oriented that I don't enjoy or not best use of my time, it's kind of like be committed to take an indicator pretty much daily.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing great clarity and, again, your commitment to your well-being and honoring your values moment to moment and... So, congratulations, Gary.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm feeling in my gut and in my heart just kind of a little expansion of gladness and gratitude for just this brief time that you've shared with me.
Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Anything that you'd like to acknowledge yourself for? What would you like to acknowledge yourself for as we complete today?
Okay. I want to acknowledge myself for gaining clarity about the truth that I am free to do what, from the inside out, I want to do, what gives me joy, and I'm free to not do things that don't hold any good energy for me.
Mm-hmm.
That this time in my life, I can really live that way. And through both of these two topics, I feel increased sense of freedom and now a way to explore so that I know most clearly what I really feel a calling and a joy from.
Well done. And I'm hearing an increase in your energy as you speak those words. So, bravo.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Gary. Thank you. Thanks again.
All right. Should I
sign
off
thank
now?
Thank you. Well, I want to say thank you to you so much, to both of you. As a coach and on a personal level, I got so much from this session. And we are running short on time, as always, but so we will move on. But because it's a more master coaching policy that the client hang up after the session, we will be saying goodbye to Gary for now. But since Gary's a coach, we've invited him to come back on the call at 1 o'clock to take part in the skill drill. If he's able to do that, we hope you are, Gary. And again,
okay.
Thank you so much.
Now, is that 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock East Coast time?
Yes, in 15 minutes.
Okay. All right.
So it'll be a quick trip back.
That sounds great. Well, I'll get off the line so you can do question and answer, and then sign back in at 10 o'clock Pacific time.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to it, Gary. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye now. Oh, how beautiful. Okay, everyone, it is time for questions or comments for Fran. So if you have a question or comment, press, there are six on your telephone keypad, or you can instant message me via Skype, and my account is Gail, G-A-I-L, dot more M-C, and that's all one word, M-O-O-R-E, M-C as in master coaching. And please remember that if you opt to speak, you are acknowledged. Call is being recorded, and that you agree to the terms and conditions listed on the More Master Coaching website. Okay, Fran, while we wait for people to get their thoughts together, is there anything that you would like to say about your process or the session in general?
Well, I just I felt really clunky in places.
Really?
And, and it was so my focused intention, it's what I'm working on for my life growth edge, is to be more functioning in the present moment, just really bringing myself. So that was my focused intention, and so that's what I kept bringing myself back to, was how to really be deeply with Gary in his process and his energy right now, rather than trying to think of the perfect question. And, you know, sometimes I was grasping, sometimes I felt that.
Wow. I would love to hear what the folks out there think, because, boy, that was not my experience at all. The thing I got was what profound listening and your presence with him. And the questions, I mean, I was jotting down the questions you were asking. I mean, there were just like one great question after the next, and the things you picked up on. Anyway, I'll quit talking. Let's see if somebody's... Oh, come on, folks. Star 6 on your telephone keypad. Please. This is just too juicy for words. I'm curious. I'm so blown away by your comment, but where was it that you felt especially clunky? You used the word clunky. Do you remember?
Let me see. Around the contracting, I felt a little redundant at one point, and grasping for a smooth transition, through really nailing down the outcome.
Mm.
That was a little, you know, awkward. That's one spot. Um, I got a little aware of the time when he opened up his lack of willingness.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, wow, you know, it was just opening up whole new territory and how to really stay with what was essential at that point in the interest of the time constraint.
Right.
Ordinarily, Gary and I have a full hour. And
right.
And would have gone into that more deeply. Yeah, that was a couple of spots.
Hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. We have some people. Area code 407. Hello?
Hey, it's Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Gail, I just wanted to kind of echo what you said. I thought it was masterful, and I kept writing down all the questions, and I was amazed at her presence, and just it was so clear that she was so not tied to an outcome or an agenda, which is sometimes my struggle, and just used few words, and he seemed to be really growing and having a lot of insight, so I thought it was a great call.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Yeah, and there was no leading or giving advice or, you know.
Nothing, no.
Yeah,
mm-mm.
No agenda, anyway. Okay, so area code 604. Hello?
Hi there. I'm Julia calling from British Columbia, and I really
Hi.
Enjoyed the session. I just wanted to share with you that I really learned a lot, and it's interesting the areas where you identified that you felt were clunky. I was really taking in how you were bringing, it was clear to me that you were trying to be ultimately just present, and I know that it was an excellent opportunity for me, a very timely opportunity for me to be able to hear how you dealt with that, because I know that when we're cultivating our presence and trying to be more and more just a vehicle or somebody holding a space for the clients, the coaches' process to unfold, it's in that presence we kind of have our, could we say our capital F self coming in, and it's hard to hold your tongue sometimes and not jump in with what's coming to you intuitively. And I find that sometimes when I do and step in, it derails the client's process and it didn't end up serving. So I think where you held back was a real lesson for me personally on, you know, in being present, it sometimes means restraint and holding your tongue. So I was grateful to see your process like that.
Thank you, Julia, and thank you, Lisa, as well. I'd like to respond to your point, Julia, about holding back. The MCC level is a real discipline in holding back, and a full-out, full-court press focus on who the client is being, and always bring it back to what are you thinking, what are you feeling, instead of even what beginning coaches do a lot is over-rely on reflection. Now, I didn't use a whole lot of reflection here, but there's nothing wrong with reflection, but an over-reliance is me telling the client what I'm seeing or feeling. Rather than, so what are you noticing about your energy when you said that? What are you noticing when you said those words? What are you noticing that you're feeling right now? Rather than me reflecting what I'm seeing or feeling. And that's a big shift from what's acceptable at the PCC level.
Wow.
Hey.
That was great. Thank you. Thank you both. That was great. And we have another minute or so hopefully we can get this question in. 416? Hello?
Oh, hi. It's Nava from Toronto.
Hi, Nava. If I don't want to rush you, so I was wondering, are you going to be able to stay on for the second half of the call?
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Fran, would you be okay with her asking her question at the top of of the hour before, right before we start the skill drill? Okay, great. I appreciate that because there's some information I wanna go over and get. I mean, just never enough time to ask all the questions I wanna ask. But you know, we heard what a great impact it had on Gary. So I really would love it if you would just briefly describe what your Living Your Vision program is about for us.
Oh yes. It really is the core. It's my life message. It's my life work. It's helping clients discover the essence of who they are and how to call forth that greatness in every expression of their life. And you can hear the impact that that's had for Gary, how he has carried that forward. I wrote a book about it. The title is Violet's Vision, V-I-O-L-E-T-apostrophe-S, Violet's Vision. And that story really portrays the impact in our lives and the world around us when we live true to the essence of who we are.
Beautiful.
Yeah. In fact, I have a four-minute video on my website, FranFisherCoach.com. Right in the upper right-hand corner of my homepage, there's a four-minute video, and you can really get in 4 minutes the essence of the Living Your Vision process and how we've redefined vision, purpose, and values in a way that is instantly transformational.
And I definitely want to encourage everyone to go to your website, FranFisher.com, again, to check it out. It really is a treasure trove for coaches. And y'all be sure to sign up to get for free the first chapter of Fran's other book that's called No Winner Ever Got There Without a Coach. Love that. Amen. So again, Fran Fisher.
Now, my chapter, that's the title of the book. My chapter is called Living True to Your Essence. So more of the same, just expanded a whole chapter of what that process looks like.
Yeah,
great. Thank you.
Yeah. No, and I've also heard...
and also...
No, there's so much. Go ahead. You go.
Also, when you're on my website, just under that video link, there's a link to my product called My Portable Mentor.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask.
And when you click on that link, you will learn about a package of 17 audios that are that you can download. And these are tips for masterful coaching. 17 audios, they run about 5 to 15 minutes each. And when you complete those audios, I will send you a certificate for 5 ICF Resource Development Continuing Education units. And the regular price for that is $197, but I'm offering everyone on this call a 20% off discount, so it's only $137. And the code, there's a discount code, if you hit that pay button and you get into the pay screen, there's I'd ask for a code, and the code is capital G, capital M, GM. That's for Gail Moore.
Oh, thank you, Fran. You didn't tell me about yet another bonus.
I know.
This is a great surprise. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that special expires the end of December, December 30th. So be sure and hop online.
December 30th or December 31st?
December 30th.
30th. Okay. I will be including that in the email with the MP3 and everything, given the information,
bless
you. So I want to make sure that that's correct, December 30th. Okay. Oh, fabulous, Fran. Thank you so much. And we are getting here at the top of the hour, so I want to respect people's time that have to get off. So I will be giving you the password, but I first want to let you know that next month our guest master coach will be Ken Abrams, who is an executive business and personal results coach. And Ken is known for his unique style, his skill, and his humor. And he will be coaching someone who is not in the coaching profession and he has never met or spoken to before. So join us for that call if you can on Tuesday, January the 26th from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern. And a quick reminder of the new monthly subscription upgrade. As a way to say thank you to those of you who subscribe, I want to let everyone on my list know what fabulous things you're up to. So starting in January, I'm introducing a new feature to my newsletter called Monthly Subscriber Spotlight. And I'll be putting that information also on my Facebook business page. And specific details about all of this will be announced in the next week or so, hopefully as soon as possible. Okay, now, for continuing education credits for this live event for your ICF and or BCC credential, I'm going to be giving out the first password. Everyone who wants a certificate must take the password and enter it on the form on my website at either moremastercoaching.com/ICF or /BCC. And of course, all this information is on the confirmation emails that you receive. So if you have to hang up at the top of the hour, you'll fill out the form with the password, submit it, and then you'll receive an email with the link to where you can download your certificate. But please remember, you only have the next 24 hours in which to get that certificate. If you can stay on for the additional 30 minutes, I'll be giving out a second password at the very end. And for those folks, you need to enter both passwords on the form, but I'll tell you more about that later. The ICF certificate for recorded material for the 1.5 CEUs will be included in the email with the MP3, which you will receive 24 to 48 hours after this call. Okay? So the first password for today's call is holiday. Love 'em. Holiday. H-O-L-I-D-A-Y. Holiday. Okay. And speaking of which, for those of you who have to leave us now, please have a wonderful and safe holiday, and I'll look forward to seeing you again in 2016. So take care. All righty. Now we are moving on to our second part of our call today, and we will begin because Fran was gracious enough to be willing to answer Nava's question. So, Nava, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fabulous. Okay, question or comment?
It's more of a comment that perhaps it's just in the quality of the clunkiness that the coachee was really able to stay longer with what he was saying, with his own reflection, to produce his own ideas. And so he's coming from a medical profession where everything is must and ought, and it has time guideline, and everything is so strict. So we noticed how it was hard for him to shift it to, and even his language, I need to. So I thought that it was really beautiful to notice you were like clear water. It's just you just reflected back what he threw into the water, the waves that he made. Nothing was of your own, which was other people said already. So, but I thought it really touched me. I wanted to express that.
Thank you, Nava, and I really appreciate your point. Your pointing out that, you know, in our humanness, in our own vulnerability as coaches, it's never a mistake. You know, even if we judge it as not good enough or a mistake, it always serves the client. So I appreciate your point that in my clunkiness, sometimes I stacked questions, which is a no-no. But, you know, essentially, it served him in staying longer with his reflection in this regard. Yeah, so thank you. Great point.
Yeah, thank you both. Okay, so now, juicy, we get to move on to the skill drill. So, Fran, I'll let you go ahead and do whatever explaining, and then you give me a heads up, and I will. What we're going to try that's a little different is we're going to, when it's time for participation, I'm going to unmute everyone, and as long as the line remains interference-free, we'll keep it like that because it'll be easier for people to participate. So, okay, Fran, away we go.
Okay. All right. the art of inquiry, I'm going to assume that everyone on the call is already familiar with the term inquiry in the context of the coaching skill set, the coaching paradigm. And today is an opportunity to revisit and deepen and maybe learn something that you weren't aware of about the art of inquiry beforehand. So, an open-ended question for the client to reflect on or ponder over time. So when I introduce the inquiry to a client that's brand new for them, I emphasize this over time. This is something that they can take away between the coaching sessions to reflect on, and I invite them to be curious about the question, to hold it in a curious frame rather than in their head trying to figure out an answer. And I share with them that what we're doing here is tapping into yet another resource for information that would support them in learning more about themselves and their relationship to whatever their issue is. So I describe it as a journey, a question that they can explore like a journey, to be with it and notice what shows up. So let's open it up right now, or raise your hand, if you will. I'd love to hear from a couple of you who work with inquiry. What benefits have you experienced as the coach? As the coach, what benefits have you noticed for yourself if you've engaged in inquiry process, or what benefit as the coach you notice in the coaching?
Okay, I'm going to take everybody off mute. Hold on just a second.
Q&A session is over.
Okay, so the lines are open. So if you have yourself muted, you want to make sure to unmute, but the lines are open, so away we go.
This is Dee.
Hey, Dee.
Hello.
Hey. What I really noticed, it's echoing, is when I use this process is an allowing. There's no place yet. There's just an allowing for things to come from within me or within the client that really are already there. Just undiscovered.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dee.
Yeah.
Oops. Someone just flushed your toilet.
I love that. Thank you all. That was so great. So if you have a disturbance in your area, or you're going to make noise, if you could please mute your line by pressing *6, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Although we did appreciate that, but moving forward.
To make some meaning out of it, but I won't go there right now.
That's too funny. Okay.
Anyone else? What benefits have you experienced?
I think, this is Sally, I think that it allows the client to become more trusting of himself or herself. So often people think that there is thing that's expected of them, some right thing. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of inquiry is to learn to trust what's true for us.
Beautiful. Sal, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Sally.
Yes. Yeah, that deeper reservoir within themselves. Yeah. Now, this takes me back to when I was my own coach very early in my you know, my coaching training years. And I was typically working in inquiry after almost every coaching session with my coach, who was also my mentor and trainer, and we wore all those hats in the early days. And what I noticed when I took on an inquiry was that I would start somewhere with the noticing. Something would come up and it would show me something about myself or about my issue that I was focusing on. And that would lead me to, I'd continue to follow that trail in my inquiry process, in my noticing, perhaps journaling or jotting down some notes that I was noticing. And then over time, as I worked that inquiry, and then I came back to my coaching session the following week, I was in a whole different place. I had traveled from the initial inquiry. Maybe it was, how do I trust? You know, and I ended up in a new territory. So it definitely, my experience is it can be a journey of discovery, very rich. So thank you, Dee and Sally. So co-creating the inquiry is really key. It's very, very important in terms of our coaching paradigm, which is inviting the client to lead, okay? So we're not leading with, here's an inquiry for you and assigning homework. No, we're inviting the client to see if they're open to embracing this tool, if you will. And so we're asking permission, or we're in, are you open for an inquiry? If this is what I ask, if I intuitively I sense that it, an inquiry would serve the client. And so then they say yes. They always say yes, right? And then, so I invite the client to name what they would like to ponder or reflect on as a takeaway. And, you know, sometimes they don't know because they're just too close to the bark to see the tree, right? And so I might offer some suggestions or reflect what I've been hearing in the conversation. We'll look at Gloria down here, the case study number one. And there were a lot of pieces that she was bringing to the issue and to the conversation. So we're looking for the one that she has the most energy on to really explore to take forward. So we're co-creating, we're exploring. And in that process, I really invite you to honor your intuition. If you're getting something intuitively, then just ask permission to offer a suggestion. You don't have to withhold yourself. And, you know, you're co-creating together as a team. You're in partnership here. So fully engage in that process. And then wordsmith that question, that inquiry. And there's a specific way to do that where you end up with the question designed for the client to ask themselves. So the final inquiry is going to be a no more than five words, that's my bias, not long, not clunky, not, you know, it's very simple, very
Uh-oh. If you don't hear that disturbance, could you please put your phone on mute? I hear it. Okay, I'm going to have to put everybody on mute.
Q&A session started.
Woo, that was painful.
Oh, that was painful. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Gail.
Sure.
All right. So a broad-based question, very simple, non-specific. So, for example, how do I trust? Notice that it's designed for the client to ask themselves. So as you're wordsmithing, you don't want to end up with an inquiry that says, how do you trust? Because then the client is not asking themselves. Okay? So, and non-specific. So it's not going to be, how do I trust my husband? Nah. That's not an inquiry. It's that deeper level, broader based question format. So that, because that's going to access the subconscious and not the mind. If this is, how do I trust my husband, it's going to be a lot more difficult to tap the subconscious. Right? So then, as we're wordsmithing, sometimes I'll give the clients examples. So it might look like, so if trust is the focus, you've aligned on that. So here's some examples of, you know, different ways that you could take on this inquiry. What do I trust? Who do I trust? When do I trust? I'll throw those out as examples, and then I'll invite the client to, well, which one resonates, or how, you know, what would resonate the most or the most deeply for you? And then we lock in and we align on it, and then we move into the next phase of the inquiry process, which is, how will you keep this inquiry alive for you and present and conscious? Because what I've noticed in my experience is, as human beings, we have all these great intentions, particularly for something like this, hang up the phone, and it's gone, you know, within, you know, the first hour. So this is where we invite the client to hold themselves accountable, and we help them design ways of being successful, keeping this inquiry really alive and conscious for them, so that it's asking them back all through the day. So this could look like posting sticky notes in key places, the refrigerator, the computer, the car dashboard, or reminders. For people who have those kind of smart watches, they can set timers, or they can wear a particular ring on the finger, or a bracelet, or something that, you know, a symbol. One time, I don't remember what the inquiry was, but my client, this is where they can really bring their creativity. He put a soup can, he took the label off, and he put a soup can, and he put a light bulb so it would stand on his desk. And that was his constant reminder of the inquiry, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. But, you know, creating a symbol. It's posted somewhere. So we design the accountability and those structures that support them in being successful, keeping that inquiry alive and conscious for them. So raise your hand if you'd like to share or ask a question about the co-creating the inquiry.
Yeah, so press *6 on your telephone keypad.
Okay. No questions or comments. So let's take a look at case study number one. Gloria is a mid-level manager. She wants to ask her boss for a raise. Mark the issues that pop out for you as I'm reading it, for the benefit of some of you on the call may not have the benefit of this handout. So she wants to ask her boss for a raise, but she's afraid to ask. The coaching has revealed that her fear is he'll say no, and that will leave her feeling small and powerless. The coaching has also revealed that she has a limiting belief that she's not good enough to ask for a raise. So what do you see, and what do you see are the client's issues? There's an array of them here that's been raised in the coaching.
Okay, we have two people. They kind of raised their hand before you started this, so I'm not sure if it's, anyway, okay. We'll just see. Okay. Lisa again, I think. Hello? Lisa?
Yeah, my question was before we got to the case study, and I'm a newer coach. I haven't even taken the exam yet, but I'm very close to being ready to take it.
Lisa.
Thank you, with my hours. I have not really learned this art of inquiry skill,
okay.
And I'm wondering where I go to understand it better.
Ooh, good question. Interesting. It wasn't presented in your curriculum, your coach training curriculum?
Not specifically.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to give that some thought and find a way to get back to you on that. We don't have time in this call.
Okay.
I'm sure there are other people who have some ideas. So,
well, I've got some other sources I can go to, but it seems pretty straightforward. But I was
okay.
I'll just keep listening.
Lisa, I'm going to encourage you to just dive in from what you're learning today. Dive in and play with it.
I will.
Okay.
Okay, great.
That's a resource.
Okay, D. Hello? D?
Yeah. Hey, Gail, this is D. And I asked my question beforehand. I mean, raised my hand or whatever beforehand also. And what I too wanted some more information on further information on this, and that's what Fran started into now. So
yeah. You
can ignore my hand raised till it goes up next.
Sure, and Fran, if you think of something, you can always email me, and I'll get it out to everybody.
Perfect. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, great. Well, thank you both. Now we're back to...
All right. What are the issues that Gloria has raised? This is the beginning of the process.
Okay, here we go. 336, you're on.
Okay, this is Dee in North Carolina.
Hey!
I think there's more than one Dee on the phone.
Yeah.
well, what I'm seeing is the issues are she's got a fear of rejection, and she's got a self-esteem issue and feeling powerless, disempowered.
Okay.
Based on the opinions of others, is what I got.
Yeah.
Where disempowerment comes from.
Okay, very good, Dee. And be careful not to project your interpretations, okay?
Mm.
So self-esteem, for example, is your analysis. Okay, so watch that.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So stay with, you're safer to stay with, she's feeling small and powerless without interpreting, okay?
Got it.
Okay.
Great.
She has a fear that he'll say no, and she has this limiting belief that she's not good enough. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Good. Thank you.
And we have somebody else coming in.
All right.
604.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, it's Julia from British Columbia again. I was going to ask just that. Did you want us to stick with the phraseology? She's feeling small and powerless. Or stay or clear of wondering or probing more into self-esteem issues, because let's face it, in the interest of time, we won't get anything done if we go too deeply into that and don't look at for resolution inside of how do we get this lady to have the confidence to ask for a raise. So you actually answered my question. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me asking
no,
it.
No.
Okay.
That's great.
Thanks.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to use the client's words. That's direct communication competency,
okay.
Using the client's words. And certainly, there's no question that you're going to be, in the coaching itself, you're going to be exploring these, right? And you're
right.
Going to come. Okay, but let's say this is all we have by, we're moving toward the end of the conversation, or it could be even in the midpoint this comes up. And intuitively, I get that an inquiry might serve as a resource to really support her in taking this further between calls. So for the sake of the skill drill today, let's pick one. Let's leave it open. Let's leave it open. So XB is craft a possible inquiry for this case study. So any of you on the call, pick, you know, afraid to ask, small and powerless, not good enough. Pick any one of those, because those are kind of standing out for us. Pick any one of those and craft a possible inquiry that Gloria could ask herself.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Oh, goodness. Okay, so 585, Sally. Sally?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
The question that came to me is, when do I feel big?
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well done.
Okay.
Succinct.
Yep, thanks.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Sally. Okay, 416. Hello?
It's Nava. I thought, what will happen if I ask?
What will happen if I ask? What will happen if I ask? Six words, but it's a winner.
It's six words. Yeah, I know. I'm.
No, it's a winner. What, or what do I believe will happen if I ask? Or what will happen if I ask? Very good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Oh, great. Oh, they're coming in. Okay. 813.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I was thinking of something along the lines of what this feels like, blank, blank, blank. Trying to access perhaps metaphor in another context.
So what is a metaphor for what I'm feeling?
Yeah.
Having that be the inquiry?
Yes. What is this a metaphor? Or what is a metaphor for this?
What is a metaphor for this?
Five words.
Okay. And before you lock into that, you want to be very clear, you and the client are very clear about what this is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is it referring to feeling powerless? Is it referring to not good enough?
I was thinking of, because the previous participants have talked about the feeling small and powerless, I was kind of staying with that.
Okay,
so
good.
Thinking if she could access, you know, mm-hmm. this feels like when or something else that is like this for me is, then
mm-hmm.
she might be able to go into the realm of accessing it at a deeper level.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it to feel powerless? When do I feel powerless?
Mm-hmm.
Or
there is
it's
another
kind of
one.
Like when. You know, when people say it's kind of like when you say, well, so tell me more about that. So, well, it's kind of like mm-hmm. when. And then they start to create a narrative around the feeling, which
mm-hmm.
helps you begin to anchor what this feeling is hooking into for them.
Yeah. So
okay.
You want to be very specific with the inquiry question. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We're getting short on time here. But
okay.
We have two other people. 206? Hello? Hello? I think it's Denise. Can you hear me? Oh, I guess not. Okay, so we'll move on to 925. Hello?
Hi, this is Paul. I was thinking something around, you know, what is my power or how do I feel powerful?
Beautiful. Bingo. Thank you. Great example of a succinct, powerful, broad-based question that supports her in reflecting over time. All right, thank you all.
Yeah.
Well, play with the other two case studies on your own and do the exercises for yourself, and then give it a shot. Play with these. experiment. Have fun with them.
Ah, this was so much fun. Could have gone on for another hour as far as I'm concerned. And
really,
thank you all for your participation. That was some great, great questions. And thank you, Fran. Oh, my goodness. What a fabulous call this has been. So appreciative. And I will now give everyone the second password for the additional half credit. So, again, you go to my website at either moremastercoaching.com/ICF and or BCC to fill out the form, and just be sure to enter both passwords. And then after you submit the form, you will still receive that automated email with the link for the certificate for the 1 hour. But you can just ignore that email because I will be personally emailing you your certificate for the 90-minute call. So again, you're not going to be downloading the certificate. I'm going to be emailing it to you. But you do still have to fill out the form within the next 24 hours with the two passwords. Okay, so the second password for today, oh my goodness, I'm losing my tongue, for today is SPIRIT. S is in Sam, P is in Paul, IR, IT is in Tom, SPIRIT. And, you know, I know this is a lot of information, especially if this is your first time. And while all of this is on your confirmation details, if you have any questions, I'm happy to stay on the call. So just hang in on it, and we'll do that. So again, this has been a really amazing call and such an inspiring way to end the year. Thank you, Fran, and thanks to Gary and to all of you for being here, for your participation. So again, have a wonderful holiday, many blessings for the new year, and until next time, please take good care of yourselves, and may the masters inspire your greatness. Bye, everyone, and remember to stay on if you have any questions. Thank you, Fran. Big hugs.
Thank you.
Okay. People are hanging up. Is there anybody still on the call that has a question?
Fran's still here.
Oh, Fran, good.
I thought I'd just hang out here for a minute.
Yeah.
If there was anything else.
Oh, that was such a learning adventure.
Dear.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
Oh,
great, great fun.
Yes.
You are the hostess with the mostest.
Maybe. Oh, you're very kind. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
All
well,
right.
I'll be
Happy
in touch.
Happy
holidays
and to you.
You too, Fran.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Anybody else? Hello, hello, hello. Doesn't seem to be. Okay, going once, going twice, gone. Bye, everybody. Turn the recording off.
Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.